The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 583. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Munjoma.
What up, what up?
We have returned with another week. Talk about these video games, Brett. We'll see what happens with Chris or Brett. You know, they may show up, they may not show up. We'll see. Anyway, we got to, you know, I call these episodes the grab bag episodes because there's not one big thing that happened. It's just a bunch of stuff that happened. So let's get to it. We got to talk about our girl again, Asha Sharma, making moves again, Brett. So this week, the big thing was that she had a reshuffle of the Xbox leadership. She basically brought in a bunch of her AI buddies, you know, that she used to work with. And people are already assuming this is, this is how they're going to turn it to AI. It's like, no, these are people she worked with. She's bringing them along. All new CEOs do this stuff, right? But to counter that, this bitch got rid of Copilot for for Xbox, which is good. It shouldn't have been there in the first place. You know,
so does that mean it's going to be disappearing from the app? Because it's in the app.
Hopefully. Asha, yeah. Get rid of that shit. Come on, honey. Get rid of that shit on the app. You know, Asha's bringing her goons. That's right. Logic win. Shout out to you, brother. So I'm reading this off of IGN real quick. Asha Sharma, Xbox boss Asha Sharma has confirmed that Microsoft has stopped development of Copilot on Xbox. Yeah, on console. Yay! So it's just on console, Manny. So we got to wait on that. Mm-hmm. Got to get rid of the, mm-hmm. Yeah. She says in a tweet, Microsoft will retire features that don't align with where we're headed. Oh, excuse me. Gaming Copilot, which was in beta, was designed as, quote unquote, your personal gaming sidekick. Bullshit. The idea was that players could ask for help anytime or anywhere where they were playing. I'm not reading the rest of this. You know what Copilot is. You know what the fuck it was trying to do.
I feel like.
But yeah, she says that doesn't align with their vision. Good, I agree. It doesn't.
I think a lot of times, like the situation with AI is it seems like there's a lot of people trying to justify its existence and squeeze it into things that where it's not needed.
It's exactly what's happening.
It's like, hey, it was fine before. I mean, I feel like the big one would be like, okay, you know, like searching shit on an Xbox and a PlayStation is utterly atrocious. I would see that as a good reason for fucking AI because the search engines on those things is utter trash.
Yeah, they're awful, yeah. So here's a statement she made. Xbox needs to move faster, deepen our connection with the community, and address friction for both players and developers. Today, we have promoted leaders who helped. So, okay, this is interesting. I didn't read this part before. Today, we help promote leaders who help build the Xbox while also bringing in new voices to push us forward. This balance is important as we get into the business back on track. So she admits it. We were off track. You know, as part of this shift, you'll see us begin to retire features that don't align with where we're headed. We'll begin with Copilot. That sounds good. Again, like we said before, we'll have to wait and see if this all pans out. But so far, I'm liking what I'm hearing here. Again, you never heard Phil talk about shit like that. Like, oh, yeah, you know, let's just be honest. He's like, he never said get back on track. He never said shit like that, you know?
No. I mean, it's in a weird way. It sort of makes the old regime just sound like they were idiots.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, it's like, oh, get us back on track. I'm like, wait, Phil, I guess, was taking
getting you back on track. What does that mean? Exactly. If you have to get on track, that means you are off track, you know? Kind of related, a little bit of a side tangent, but I have to say this. because it's kind of related. You know what it reminds me of too, Manny? You know, DC's, we're all in. So you mean that you weren't all in before then? What the fuck were you doing? Just hanging out? You know, that's exactly what this reminds me of. It's insane. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much the report there. So, you know, we'll have to see where this goes. But yeah, get rid of Copilot. That's a good thing. We don't need that shit. You know, talk to Nadella. Get rid of more stuff from Copilot on Windows in general. You know, what's up, Carlos?
So this is probably a dumb question, but was Copilot ever integrated to Xbox? As someone that doesn't own, I'm not sure.
I don't know, but apparently it was enough for them to get rid of it, you know?
Logic wins, bro,
I know you're an Xbox guy. Was Copilot like in Xbox consoles, and how and what form did it take? Anyway, go ahead, whoever was talking.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, again, the only introduction to any sort of Copilot is, you know, when they included it on the little app thing. Like, if you had the Xbox app, it was actually in there. It had, like, a little Copilot. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he answered our question, but he did say there's a responsible way to use AI in gaming. Is there? Is there? I don't know about that. Logic One says, nope, not to my knowledge. If Copilot is on Xbox, but they said they got rid of it, you know. So I don't know.
Here's the thing.
And I trust my man.
This is also a situation of like they you know, obviously they keep track of what things people are using. They probably have a little ping anytime somebody decides to open the damn thing up, and they probably notice like nobody gave a shit about it, right?
Yeah.
So then why waste money? Why waste money trying to push? And, you know, Nadella was attempting to do this too. Why attempt to essentially fix a non-problem? You know, something that nobody decided they wanted to. So just why are we even investing in it? So just pull it out. You know, that's what makes sense to me.
Yeah. So one of these guys, Jason Ronald, who's been with Xbox for like 20 years, he's being promoted and he's heading up the Project Helix platform. It's pretty interesting. What if that has to do with that crazy beard? You know, that dude's epic. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen that dude. Like kind of fat guy with the big, long Gandalf beard.
Mm-hmm. No, but his name is Jason Donald. So, you can
only, Ronald.
You can just imagine. Or Ronald. You can just imagine how.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think this is him. Anyway.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Whatever happened, wasn't there another Xbox guy? Not. It was Matt Booty, and then there was another guy. Greeny.
Aaron Greenberg. He's still there.
He's still there? Okay.
I don't know what he does anymore.
Yeah, right? Ain't nobody getting rid of him.
Oh, he retweets Asha Sharma tweets. That's all he does, probably.
Oh, shit. Okay, there you go.
I was like, a while back, I was actually at the Microsoft, at Xbox, and I know that I saw, it was not Xbox, excuse me. It was at the Microsoft campus. So I was in Seattle and I visited the Microsoft campus. And I saw, Aaron Greenberg just, you know, giving these guys a tour. I influencer that recently passed away. What was his name? I'm totally blanking on his name, but I think it was that guy. He was giving the tour of like the campus and stuff. But anyway, yeah.
He passed away this year?
I think last year. It was a guy who was known for being a really nice sort of guy. Like, I can't remember the guy's name. But
I don't know any of these fucking people.
Oh, yeah, the black dude?
Yes, him. I think it was him that he was giving the tour to, you know, giving the tour to. But anyway, yeah. But I mean, like, what does he do? He just is that what Greeny does now? He just gives influencers tours of the Microsoft campus.
Logic Win says, I don't know what Greenberg does. Nobody. I don't think he knows what he does, bro.
All I know is I saw him. He just like giving the tour to this guy. Like, and I knew he was an influencer. But I was like, yeah, that's all I really saw him do. And I have you ever seen him at E3?
Lamar Wilson. Yeah.
Yes, I think it might have been Lamar Wilson.
Yeah, yes, I do know who you're talking about. He's one of those guys I just knew of, but I couldn't name any of his work because I don't watch influencers, you know.
You've seen him around.
I've seen him at shows too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know of the guy. Yeah, people liked him. Thank you for that. Young Savage, what's going on, brother? Thank you for joining us. Okay, so he was giving Lamar Wilson a tour. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, again, it seems to me like Asha's making these like small, like fast moves, you know, to try to build things up. I think it's smart, you know, instead of like doing things that may take too long to get off the ground. It's like, let's do some of the little things first. Yeah, that co-pilot one, that's a good one. You know, get rid of that bullshit. All right, anything else you guys want to say about the latest Xbox news?
I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. I keep saying, is there any time we hear anything? I always say, just see what happens in the greater scheme.
Yeah. All right, next one. This is a crazy story. So a Bank of America analyst says that GTA 6 should cost $80 so it doesn't make everyone else's $70 games look bad. The basic thing is he feels that the gaming industry, in order to do better, they need to bring in more money. So if GTA 6 costs $80, it'll give other developers the excuse to also raise the price of their games to $80. So what do you guys think about that?
In a seemingly recession era, I think it'd be the stupidest idea out there, because it's like, why are you like you? I get it. They think of that game as a sought after game, but I think that price would kick people out now. But if you give people a reason to pay $80, right? If you throw a bunch of shit on top of that, that say, hey, you know, like they do their little special editions and stuff like that. If you throw a bunch of stuff on there, I think that, and to make the purchase at least seemingly worthwhile, maybe I would say yes. Okay, go for an 80. But if you're just charging just a flat game with nothing in it, you know, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, GTA 6 is one of the few games that can actually pull it off, and probably pull off even more.
Mm-hmm.
But the precedence that this would make on the industry, because what the industry does is they just want an excuse to raise the price of the game, no matter what type of game it is. If they think it's worth it or not, they want to raise the price. It happened with $70 game, it was $60 game. So with this, it doesn't make any sense. Like even if the whole thing about, you know, the whole spiel about raising the price for this game in particular is because it cost $1 billion to make, well, the game will still make the game in microtransactions. That's where most of the money comes from. So, you know, there's no point to charging that much, you know, for this game if you're still going to generate most, if not all, of the revenue from microtransactions. So it doesn't make sense. And also, most games aren't worth $80.
Yeah.
I'm curious if this dude even knows about gaming.
He may not. You know, some Bank of America analyst. But he probably does know GTA. Everybody knows GTA. I just formed a conspiracy theory. I'm going to run it by you guys. Let me hear what you think. Because remember, the rumor for the last year has been that GTA 6 will cost $100, right? I think that was all planned, right? Let people think it's going to cost $100. Then you drop that shit $80. Oh, shit, it's only 80. It's only 80, it's guys. It's great. Yeah, they so we get this shit on a discount? Excuse me? You know, so throwing that there, that's my extreme tinfoil hat. It's not a headband. It's a full on. It's 2-ply hats. You know, but yeah. So I think maybe we're being prepared, because now it's all of a sudden, wait, $80. You motherfucker said $100. Oh, this is good. Oh man. But yeah, he's basically saying, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not a bad theory. I mean, you can keep that tinfoil sombrero, because
it's that's what we're calling it, sombrero, you know. And
when
if that's
a major, when it's a major theory,
yeah. And if that theory turns out to be true, I'm gonna line that shit up with some fucking nacho cheese and shit. You know, you put some fucking dip in there. Oh man, but yeah, we'll have to see about this. Like, yeah, is Rockstar going to be listening to some fucking Bank of America analyst? Who knows? But again, if any game could get away with being sold for $80, it is Grand Theft Auto. You best believe that. They could sell that shit for $100, you know? But now it's going to happen. People will be like, oh shit, it's only $80, bro. It's only $80. It's incredible. Tell the kids. We're buying them 2 copies, you know?
Christmas came early.
Yeah, Otaku man, what's going on, brother? He goes, sounds like capitalism 101. That's it. Get that money, you know? Logic Wins responding to Otaku Man. I can see Rockstar making a $100 edition. Only a $100 edition, bro? Man, you know they're going to sell you a motherfucking $300 edition with a Glock, you know?
Well, didn't they have that? Well, they had that version years ago, which was the one that came with the metal case and had a t-shirt, a bunch of stickers, like a bunch of keychains. It came with a bunch of shit. And I think, as I remember, Adam still has that crazy
thing. Yeah. That shit is crazy, man. So, yeah, we'll see what happens here, you know. Actually, Rich, I want to get your thoughts, man. $80 GTA, what do you say? Are we getting a discount now? Because people said $100.
I think that's a pretty fair price. I don't really listen to anything that anybody from Bank of America says. But, that's totally fine with me because we know that they make most of their money from GTA Online. And so they don't necessarily need to make GTA, the base game, too ridiculous with the price. So $80, I'm totally fine with that. But I'm pretty sure there will be an edition that will be over $100. Because one thing I do know about Take-Two, they are also under the same company of 2K. They have multiple versions of NBA 2K and WWE 2K every single year at different price points. So they are definitely going to have another edition besides the regular edition of GTA.
Yeah, for sure. Brian, what are your thoughts since GTA is your favorite franchise?
That's lies and slander. Yeah, I can see them doing it because it's GTA. Like, I don't think they care that much. Like, they already know that they're going to get a ton of money either way. So they'll just do whatever the hell they feel like it. So, yeah, I can easily imagine them coming out with $80, $70, $90, $100 games. Everything is possible purely because it's Rockstar. And the really annoying fact is they know they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. So that's why they'll do it.
Yeah. Hello, Chris. Welcome. Definitely want to get your thoughts on this as a former Rockstar employee, because I don't know if you heard the story about the Bank of America analyst who says that GTA 6 needs to cost $80, so it'll give a reason for other developers to raise the price of their games and it'll be better for the industry. What do you say about that?
First of all, Rockstar Games, much like Nintendo, is on an island, right? They're in isolated kind of bubbles where their sphere of influence. Like, Rockstar upping the price of their game, because if you look at the previous title, which is the best-selling piece of entertainment, you know.
Ever,
right? No, nobody else can claim that. Nobody else gets close to that. So it's not reasonable to say, well, if they price their games at $80, it will follow. That would be suicide for some, right? Imagine Ubisoft deciding, we'll do that too, right? You're already like halfway in the grave, so if you want to just step all the way in, do that. That's a ridiculous thing to say. Second of all, they do not need to price. There's going to be add-ons. And Rich mentioned GTA Online. They make plenty of revenue from that. They're going to expand that to include the stuff from. So that's their revenue generator. That's their cash cow. They're going to want people to get in on the single player, of course. But it's going to be the online component that really is where it pulls in the money. The shark cards and the engagement, right? So you just keep buying stuff, buy items, game, buy your submarine, buy your space shuttle, whatever they decide to put in there next. You know, that's what it's all about. So the game doesn't cost dollars. That's fucking old thing. That's actually retarded. I'll just throw that word.
Stupid. There you go.
They could introduce the game. They could price GTA 6 at $40 because the revenue they're going to generate from GTA Online when they start is going to dwarf any type of just single sales. Single sales is small thinking. And then secondly, the fact that would influence the ridiculous because people changed their release dates when they thought GTA 6 was going to release when they said it was last year.
Yeah.
People moved their games, right, out of the way. Nobody went, oh, let's launch around it. We'll have we'll get ancillary sales or something. That's what this guy said is as stupid as what I just said. There's no way that's gonna do anything. You're not gonna get in its wake and get some kind of shine. There's no way this is gonna pan out because people are selling completely different products. No way no EA or anyone looks at this like, well, Battlefield 9 needs to cost $80 because GTA 6 costs $80. So yeah, that it's a very stupid thing. This guy's an analyst for a bank, isn't he?
Yeah, Bank of America. Yeah. And Chris, you weren't here for it. My conspiracy theory about all this, my perhaps irresponsible conspiracy theory, because you know we've heard rumors for about a year now that GTA 6 will cost $100. Now this is coming out at $80. They're going to be like, oh, look at that. You're getting a discount. Only $80? That ain't bad at all. You know? So that's my theory. You know, they were putting it out there, $100. They're gonna actually bring it to 80, and then you're gonna think you're getting a discount.
Yeah, that's a good theory. That's valid. That's like what the asking a date fallacy, where you just tell the girl like, oh, we should get married. Oh, whoa. Well, how about some coffee? Oh, okay. You know, because you put the bar so high, like the coffee's not.
Yeah. So there you go. So just putting that out there. Just putting that out there. You know, because we've been hearing just $100 for a year now. Now, all of a sudden, $80. Ooh, where'd this come from? Just saying, man. Just saying. All right. Let's move on here. Something about selling. The Steam controller came out, and you can't buy it because the motherfucker sold out in 30 minutes. Absolutely insane, you know? So, apparently now... Valve made a statement saying they're going to start taking reservations tomorrow. Like kind of, it seems, I could be wrong. Seems like what they did with the Steam Deck originally. But yeah, man, are you surprised? And you know what happened next, bro. 30 minutes happened. The shit sells out. An hour afterwards, motherfuckers are listing this shit on eBay. $300, $600. You know, I'm not making this up. Chris, the prices have settled at around $200. Double what this shit for a fucking controller. For a controller you could just wait for, you know? But yeah, so what do you guys think about this Steam controller selling out? Is anyone surprised?
No. I predicted it in the Discord chat. It was Mop Hits, I think, who asked me.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know you busted out that Miss Cleo real quick when that happened.
Yeah, and it sold out way quicker than I ever expected. I didn't expect. I think it was even less than 30 minutes. It was because I remember we were in the chat and we were talking about it, and as soon as like it went live, I was like contemplating for like over 15 minutes, and then after that, I didn't even have the option to even pick. That was too slow. So, but I wasn't gonna buy it. You know, I was still contemplating, but I decided not. But yeah, I'm not surprised, and it's And you know, if you can cut a piece of your tinfoil sombrero and pass me a tinfoil bandana,
hey, there you go.
This is intentionally. I mean, the inventory was small. Like, I'm pretty sure they expected to sell out. Real.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell they're surprised by this selling out. I think that they posted that online. It's like, oh, due to unexpected something. No, motherfuckers, you know this is, and you know, and it creates hype and it creates FOMO and. In a couple of days, though,
there's a name for that.
Back live again.
There's a name for that, Carlos.
Oh yeah.
One of our Pee Wee's Playhouse. You know, word of the day. There you go. Yep. Oh, Carlos, I agree. I agree with everything you just said. Absolutely, it was fucking artificial scarcity. They knew, bro. They knew. Oh, and also, Steam went down. It was on Down Detector. Everybody was trying to get in there. You know. So yeah, not surprised, but yeah, those listings on eBay are nuts. It's like, don't do it. Please don't give in to these scalpers, you know? Like, I honestly hope there's a special place in hell for people like that, you know? Like, they don't give a fuck about the product. They just wanna, you know, they're feeding off of people's FOMO. That's what they're doing, you know? Like these fucking, anyway, what do you guys think about this? Go ahead, yeah.
In a couple of days, it'll go live with another batch of controllers. And it's like, oh, you know, we got them back up, and
we got them back,
and it's gonna sell out again, and create a whole loop of
time. One of the funny things I saw was people were buying the fucking old Steam controller. I think they don't know that if this is a new one. Like, Steam controller, buy it. Yo, imagine when they get that shit. What the fuck is this shit? Oh, man.
It's got those huge pads, too.
Yeah. It's like when, remember when the Xbox Series X was sold out? And then people were buying the Xbox One X thinking it was the Series X. Like, oh, look what I got. You motherfuckers, you guys suck. I got my shit. They're like, no, bitch, look what you got. Oh, man. Yeah, it sucks the fun out of the room, man, but it is what it is. But also on a related note, did you guys see that report about how Valve apparently shipped 50 tons of quote-unquote game consoles to America?
We sure as hell know they weren't controllers.
Yeah. So obviously, everybody's running with it like, oh, shit, Steam Machine is coming. You don't know that. You know those consoles could be Steam Decks, right?
They could be Steam Decks.
Because, remember, that's been sold out, too, for a long time. So, interesting regard. I think in total, it's been 90 tons of shit that they've shipped in since February. But, again, it doesn't mean it's a Steam Machine. It could be the Steam Deck, but maybe it is a Steam Machine. And then my question is, do you think the Steam Machine will sell out as fast as this? I don't know if it's going to sell out as fast as this, but it's going to sell out. Absolutely. You know? What do you think, Mr. Romero?
I mean, if it sells at the price that I predicted from day one, it'll sell out mad
quick. Yeah. What's your prediction again?
So mine was 650 from day one. And it gave me cause for pause because everything that happened afterwards, and everything stuff even went up after that. So I'm, you know, we'll see. But if they release like $1,000, I don't think sell out as quick. But if it's in that range, like 650 to 750, I feel like it has a good chance to sell really, really well.
Yeah, I saw another report, and again, take it with a grain of salt, that apparently the price is going to be like $699, $799. That wouldn't be bad, you know. That wouldn't be bad. Even I would be like, you know,
it's the price of a PC handheld from 2 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. Fucking insane. Again, it makes you wonder what these consoles would cost without this RAM shit. You know, it's crazy, man. I know the price of old consoles would have gone up, but yeah. So we'll see what happens. Nope. All right, what else is up here? Speaking about surprises. Actually, an anti-surprise, because we knew the Steam Deck was going to sell out. This one was legit. In the gaming industry, it's very rare when you get a fucking surprise. Very rare now because of leaks and all this bullshit. This one legit came out of nowhere. Fucking Nintendo was like, yo, we're dropping some new Star Fox shit in 15 minutes. Then 15 minutes later, we get a fucking a new, quote-unquote, new Star Fox game. It's actually a remake of Star Fox 64. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Yep. with new visuals. And Carlos, I know you're very upset about this. It's like, yo, call it Star Fox 64. Don't call it Star Fox. Star Fox was on a Super Nintendo, motherfucker. And I agree with you.
Yeah, so, I mean, so Star Fox from the Super Nintendo was remade into Star Fox 64. But Star Fox 64, you know, it redid everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything from the SNES version. And this one... And they've already been remakes for Star Fox 64 before. I think there was a 3DS one that was Star Fox
64. Yes. 3DS 3D. One. Yeah.
Yeah, so we already have this precedence, but they had to name it Star Fox. It's like, just name it Star Fox 64 remake, or then, I don't know, or Switch, or 3D, or HD, or 4K, whatever you want to do. You know, because you gotta show respect to the one that they got. That's the game they got. And also, it's part of a larger point, because I thought when they showed this announcement, I thought, oh, Star Fox was in the most recent Mario movie. Yeah. Maybe they're bringing back the franchise.
Hmm.
And maybe I could be wrong, but the fact that they named the Star Fox 64 remake Star Fox makes me think that they're not going to do that. It's just like, oh, well, you know, we'll try to, you know, sell as many copies from the Mario Galaxy hype that we got a few months ago. You know,
it's not just that. I have a slight tinfoil hat theory. Oh, and it's going to involve something I have to do very soon for the show. And it's that their investor call is tomorrow.
Oh.
That's why I think this announcement happened. Now, the leak said it was supposed to happen earlier. And I think they wanted to put it off. There could be multiple reasons, but I think they wanted this call to drop, this announcement to drop just before they say, hey, look, we have like a heavy release coming. And then they'll probably have more at Summer Game Fest. But they wanted one, so it was this to announce.
Yeah, so Chris, what do you say about this, man?
Oh, wait.
Star Fox, the announcement. Oh, yeah, I mean, other stuff. All right.
Oh. So the trailer was good. I have a little mixed feelings about it because, like Carlos said, it's Star Fox 64 again. So it's not a new game. It's not. I would think you could have remade Star Fox 2 because that was the game that they finished and stuck on the mini SNES, right? That was like the unreleased game that people wanted, and there was fans trying to put together, and they finally released. You could have remade that, but okay, fine. And people got excited because they added the scene, like there's mentions of his father, and then like him getting betrayed and how he disappeared. So apparently that's going to be part of the story now. So I can see that the designs are cool. They're a little Well, okay, Star Fox has been gritty, right? It's always been good. It's Top Gun in space with animal, right? That's what it is.
So the
idea is the look fits, right? I mean, I could see I had a little bit of problem because they have the, you know, they have the animal feet going on before they had space boots. I mean, they even make the joke in Mario Galaxy, like he's like, oh, I even got cool space boots. Oh, he's not wearing boots anymore. He's just got animal feet, so that's weird. So they kind of strayed from the design. And I think they wanted to do a little something different, but it fits the look they're giving the whole world. Like they look a little grittier, a little scarier. Krista was saying it's like a little Dark Souls-y look, and I'm like, yeah, I can see it, but it's supposed to be gritty, and they might make it darker. They might show more death in there because characters die. Like your team can die, just like an old game. Like if you lose a team member, they're gone. They're dead. They don't come back. It's not like oh, you start level 2 and they're back. No, they're gone. And so that'll be pretty interesting. It looks good. I'm not a Star Fox guy, but Kristen is a fan, so she was very excited. I may end up getting a Switch after all.
Oh wow! Okay.
Uh oh.
Interesting.
Uh oh. Whoa.
We suspected there was one in your home already.
No. It's not in the House of Mutombo, but yeah, I may have.
Yeah. Where's the Switch 2? It's inside the house. Yeah. Yeah, Rich, get in here, man. Go ahead, Manny. Then Rich after you.
You know what it looked like to me? Like, it looked like that. You remember the Guardians of the Galaxy game?
Yeah.
They kind of looked like Rocket does in that game.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, Rich, what are your thoughts on this? And how many Switches are you buying to play this?
Well, first and foremost, that will be zero. That's a very specific number. I think the point that Chris made about that earnings call, that is a very smart point that makes a lot of sense to me as to why they made this announcement, because clearly this is not what everybody was talking about yesterday. And I'm going to have to give a shout out to Tony because I saw our notes and I saw that Stranger Than Heaven was not on that list.
Oh,
that was the highlight of yesterday. Now, this I will say, yeah, I think it was an okay announcement. I did enjoy the original Star Fox. I do agree with you guys, though. I would like to see what they would do with this franchise beyond just releasing a remaster. So hopefully they are going to do more with that character in that universe. But I will not be picking up a Switch 2 for this. absolutely not. That's not going to happen.
That's funny. All right, any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, just real quick. Whole thing with the game also, I'm not a big fan of the character.
Uh-oh.
I'm shocked they didn't use the same character models they did in the movie, because the movie looked great. Like, Star Fox looked great. This one, he looks... I forgot, someone posted a video or a picture of it looked like a fox on crack or something.
No, it was probably the Fantastic... Was it Fantastic? The picture of the puppet from Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Oh, yeah. Like, it just looked busted. They went too realistic with this, which... I'm not a big fan of, and we've seen some of the other photos and videos of this, and this is a straight, like, they're using the assets from the old game. Like, it's pretty much the old game with a coat of paint and new cinemas, which I do appreciate that they're adding, you know, a lot of cutscenes to add more story. But I don't know, man. I love Star Fox 64. I'm not too sure if I'm gonna get it just because the game itself. You can beat it in I don't know, an hour? Like the entire game. You can beat
it. Maybe that's why they're able to put it out so fast, you know?
Maybe. Because it's they're also doing multiplayer and stuff like that. You know, they're issues with that. So I think that's where a lot of the effort. I'm not too sure. And also, you know, I'm kind of bummed that they're not trying to do a new Star Fox. Maybe they are. We'll see. Yeah, the character models, man, they look, to me at least.
Yeah. Are you upset they didn't make the dinosaur game?
The dinosaur. Oh, yeah, the assault?
Yeah. There was a Star. No, it was funny, like that game was basically kind of like a Super Mario 2 situation. They already had this other game. Yes. So they just slapped the Star Fox skin on it.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Adventures, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Adventures, yeah.
Go with Dinosaur Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not too upset at that because that game, I rage quit.
Shoot.
Because it wasn't Star Fox, at least to me. Like there are some times where you got in your and stuff, but when you got out of it, I'm like, what the hell is this?
Hey, what are we doing here?
So I wasn't a big fan of that. But and also another thing, just real quick, I was upset that they didn't use the original sound or the voices from the original game. They used a new voice cast, and they had some epic, you know, some memorable and epic dialogue in that. You know, like dry as somersault.
Yeah, dry as somersault.
It's hard to tell the good guys from the bad. Like, they have so many scenes, and they're gonna replace them with others. And I don't think they're even the same voice actors from the movie. At least the Star Fox one isn't. Do a barrel roll. I guess I should be thankful. There's a lot, and they're not reusing some of the good assets.
Oh, man. It's funny you say that because I'm on Twitter right now. Somebody's like, oh, I could tell you guys didn't play the original. Look at the box art of this game. This is the character, and this is the way they used to look like. They look way better now. Like, I don't know. Those characters look pretty cool in that box art, man.
Oh, you're talking about the Super Nintendo one?
Yeah.
They didn't look like that in the game. It was just the box art.
Yeah. That box art looks fucking clean, though, man. These guys are full of shit. Yo, what's going on, Illustrated Dio? He says he's happy to join us live. Yeah, because you're always working. That's why you miss us, you know? But yeah, man. Star Fox, there you go. And Rich, I want to thank you for putting this to my attention. Let's talk about Stranger Than Heaven. It's coming this winter. And yeah, Rich, you could tell us more about it because I didn't get to see too much of it as I was at work during all this. So what new stuff did we see? And tell us about Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, they had their Xbox Presents presentation last night. I think it was like around 7 p.m. So a pretty lengthy presentation. They showed off... They talked a little bit about the story. They did talk about some of the characters. Emphasized the fact that it's going to take place in five eras. And it follows one character and, of course, his interactions. Obviously, Snoop Dogg, like you mentioned, he plays an international smuggler in this game. And the one that is pretty much helping the main character get to Japan. There's a lot that they went into detail about. They showed some of the combat, which, you know, I do want to see how they evolve on that, you know, what you're using weapons. And then, of course, the different types of hand-to-hand combat, so on and so forth. There's also a music element to it because they're basically saying that your character becomes a showman and they're basically using the rhythm to determine a lot of things you can do in the game. And it's not just about putting together shows, like you can use the rhythm to determine how an enemy, when you're fighting an enemy, how they're moving, which will help you to determine the best way to defeat them, stuff like that. So they have a lot of different ideas in terms of what they are trying to do with the game. Like you said, this is coming to Game Pass. It is coming out this winter. I think we're obviously going to see more about the game. But I will say this, the presentation they had that Xbox put together, that was a fantastic presentation. And hopefully Xbox is going to be doing more of those type of presentations because it really gives you a lot of detail. They went into the history of what they are trying to tell with the story. Of course, how music plays a role in the story as well. But overall, yeah, I thought it was very, very interesting. And obviously, I need to see more and learn more, so hopefully we get some more details sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
You know, you know one thing a lot of people see, since everybody in the West doesn't realize, you do realize the main character is being played by Akio Otsuka, the voice of Solid Snake in Japan, right?
Interesting.
It even looks like him. So, makes you wonder, what will he sound like in the West? If in the English voiceover,
I like this theory.
If they don't get David Hayter, that would be unfortunate, because he actually has been in the Yakuza. So as the, you know, because they do have those, you could put the English voices.
Yeah,
We'll see.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm hyped. You already know, man. I got to check this presentation. I didn't get a chance to see it, but give me this game, man. All right, moving on here. We got to revisit an old story from last week, you know, about GameStop trying to buy eBay. This story gets weirder. This one, I'm almost going to put a grain of salt on. It's not a rumor, but it might be a publicity stunt. I mean, this whole thing sounds like a fucking publicity stunt, doesn't it? So apparently, the GameStop CEO, that weird shady dude that, you know, when he was asked by CNBC, hey, how are you getting the money to pay for this? He was just like, don't worry about it. I'm good. I got it. That was basically his answer, you know, which is, Chris, do you see this fucking insane? He was just like, we don't got to worry about those things. Why are you asking me about that? Who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. But the latest development is apparently he has been suspended from eBay for selling stuff to pay for eBay.
What? Who is this guy?
I don't, some clown, you know, the CEO of GameStop. And apparently some of the stuff he's trying to sell off is like old shit from the Game Informer vault, which caused a lot of people to be pissed off, you know? But yeah, Chris, what's your take on this, man?
Well, it's ridiculous. Remember, I broke down where he was possibly getting funding from, because
yeah, like I said, I'm laughing because Otaku's man said the same thing I've been saying: Saudi money.
Yeah. I mean, you got $9 billion in liquidity, which is not nearly enough. The eBay offer was the offer they made was TD Bank offered a $20 billion debt incentive, right? So you have to make up the difference. The only way to make up that difference, besides a stock deal, which your stock is volatile as hell, there's no way that's going to cover it, is to get that Saudi public investment fund. So
yeah.
and that wasn't a guaranteed thing. They have to agree to it. So I guess he's just trying to liquidate stuff to get more money, which is ridiculous. Like, you're going to sell Game Informer archive stuff?
Yeah. So I'm reading this. What website is this? This is from PC Gamer. So this is the author's opinion on this. You know, they detail all this stuff. He goes, my own feeling was that the acquisition bid probably isn't a stunt, but just grossly ill-considered. Now, though, I'm starting to wonder. Cohen obviously isn't going to make up a $14 billion shortfall by unloading a bunch of crap on eBay, but he is indeed unloading crap on eBay. And while the potential earnings are a pittance in corporate M&A terms, it does add up to a lot of money for normal people. Is that a stunt to draw attention and maybe supporting investments to his not-so-stunt eBay acquisition proposal? Is he, in fact, a corporate genius or playing a 6D chess game? Or is this all just self-aggrandizement? I also have to wonder how many of these bids are serious. Is someone really going to pay more than $15,000 for old GameStop crap? Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing is very fishy to me. You know, so I'm starting to think, like, what is really going on here? You know, because like again, Chris, we talked about the numbers don't make any fucking sense. So
no,
I don't. Yeah. So I don't know what the hell and now this stunt. Yeah, I'm calling it a stunt. You know, it sounds like it. It's like, I'm selling stuff on eBay to pay for eBay. What?
There's nothing he could sell to make a bid. How do you sell $14 billion worth of stuff? What the hell?
Funko Pops, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird stuff. We're going to obviously keep an eye on this one. But yeah, we'll see. What's going on, Reggie? Shout out to Gambit. Oh, man. Moving on here. This one's interesting. So the co-creator of Fallout says that some players watch influencers so they can be told what to think about games. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read this real quick. This is from IGN's. Fallout co-creator Tim Kaine has shared his fear that some gamers are watching influencers just so they can be, quote, handed an opinion from the online channel they're watching, end quote. The game developer behind classic RPGs like Fallout and The Outer Worlds offered his perspective on where the gaming industry is at and where it's heading in a video uploaded to his main channel when he responded to a question from a fan. He explained his take on how social media has affected both game development and how players consume gaming content online. So here's a quote. Now we're in the 2020s, and many gamers don't even look at influencers for reviews. They look to influencers to be told how to think about the games. So people don't form opinions from the online video. They're handed an opinion from the online channel they're watching. This is in contrast to his views on how... But anyway, the reason I want to talk about this is because this is a conversation... I don't know if... I think we've kind of had on this show, but not really. But I shout out to Jossie. He's laughing in the background. This is something that Manny and I have discussed kind of at length, where you will see things like, you know, Digital Foundry's talking about a video game, right? And they bring up something that is kind of innocuous. Most gamers wouldn't notice it, but they bring it up and then it becomes the central thing. That's all we're talking about. Yeah. Yep. So that I think he is referring, he's not saying Digital Foundry's exactly, but I think he's referring to that as like, oh, my favorite influencer thinks this, now I'm going to think it, you know? Yeah, so what's your take, Manny?
Well, it's in the name, influencer. Yeah. What are they doing? Yep. Influencing. So, yeah.
It's crazy, man. What do the rest of you guys think about this? Do you think it's true?
For the most part, I guess, like, some people just watch to see stuff. Some people will form an opinion, but I think a lot of people trust whatever the user says, especially younger people watching it.
Yeah.
Like, if they're into it, they'll be in the game, they'll be in. So I don't think he's wrong, honestly.
I believe it. He says right here, it's like they may say things like, oh, I don't have the time to play this, there's too many games, just tell me what to think, you know. And then obviously this support, mm-hmm. I'm adding to it, the hive mentality comes in where it's like, oh, that's what everybody else thinks, I'm gonna go along with it too. Oh, we're dog piling on this game now, I'm gonna dog pile on it too. So I agree with that. It's like you said, it's in the name, right? Influencers are influencing you, you know. So I'm gonna have to watch this video because I agree with everything he has said. You know, and what is this here? This is what a lot of designers think about now when they're putting a game together. Oh shit! They also wonder how influencers will react. That's not good if you're making a game fucking influencers.
They bring them in too.
They brought that dude in. You know.
Yeah, they bring them in to look over the games. Like, what didn't they have Maximilian do look over
a game
pretty recently?
They brought him in for Invincible. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they are totally looking to coattail influencer interest.
Yeah.
Why do you think they put them in their stupid ads and stuff like that? Like, it's because of that same reason, because they have a specific fan base that goes on there. And then, like, I remember one of them, what was it? Like, Hello Neighbor? Like, Hello Neighbor, the game, was actually changing its plots based off of the theories that the theory channel, the MatPat theory channel would do.
Oh,
to try
shit.
To catch the wave off of it. This isn't new. This is just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't new shit. Like, they're obviously looking to coattail, like, influencer, you know, interest, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, he's also saying this now trickling over to the development side, where even if you're not talking to an influencer, they may be like, what is this person going to think? So how should I make the game to, you know, steer what they may say about it? That's wild, you know? And it kind of goes to show you the power of these quote unquote influencers. Like, you know, let's just be honest, guys like me dismiss these people, but they clearly have some sway, you know, unfortunately. You know, you have idiots like Mr. Beast or whatever, like some jerk I've never heard of, but millions of people are influenced by this guy or whatever, you know? I sound like such a fucking old man right now, but it's like, cause again, I don't get it, but I understand that it is a thing, obviously, which is fucking frightening, you know? You're just gonna, but then again, this people are like that, man. You know what those what does Walter Cronkite Bob think mentality. Or whatever? You know, it's like that's just the way mentality. People are. Yeah, it's well, just it's, the way it it's is. Also,
it jumps like from different levels, right? It's like they are seen they're seen as peers. They're also, you know, like when you know, like certain situations, they might be seen as some sort of authority, even though they're just some Joe Schmo who plays fucking games like everybody else. The only difference is that they have a channel.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much like, oh, that guy has a million followers. We gotta, you know, cater to him yeah. or whatever. You know, you see that yeah, shit all no, the time.
They want to get they. And then the thing, the even better thing about influencers is that you can wine and dine them, and then yep. you can do all kinds of other funky little things with them. You know, to try to get promotion out of them, and that's what they're doing. They're literally using. They're all what they are is promotion vectors, and that's exactly yeah. what they're trying to coattail off of.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
Why do you think they pay some that what's his face the some of those streamers to play those games for a certain amount of time on their channel just so that the people on there get influenced enough to want to buy the game.
Yep, and we've seen this too, where some games that may not have been doing well, an influencer starts playing the game, suddenly the game does well. You know, just yep. because of that. And the companies, they want to tap into that. Again, I've told this story many times, and I'll say it again because it's always relevant. When I first started in this industry for the first few years, when I would go to an event, I would always be asked the same question, right? I would be asked, what publication do you write for, right? Around 2017, 2018, the question changed. I didn't get asked that anymore. I started getting asked, what game do you stream? It was more and more influencers. Because think about it, right? If you're a PR person, game company person, whatever, who do you want to be at your events? A game journalist that's going to actually critique your shit, right? Or a yes man that's going to hype your shit because you flew them out there. They want the hype men, you know? And again, they can't pay off influencers. Like they can pay off influencers and nobody will bat an eye, right? It pay off a journalist. That journalist will be fired, right? Because there's actual standards that journalists are held to, you know? At least when it comes to, you know, taking money and shit like that from a company. But influencers, nobody bats a fucking eye because you expect that. You know they're just shills for these companies or whatever, right? So hearing this shit, I'm not surprised by it. And Reggie, I know this is a subject that's near and dear to your heart because I know you don't like the fact that influencers are, you know, being so influential through your favorite games. They can make or break a game. Oh, they're not playing this game? All right, we're not going to support it now. You know, it's crazy, man. Reggie goes, I'm seriously against paying streamers to play a game. It's a double-edged sword and it's a dumb. Yeah, I mean, but it works for them and it has worked for them. That's the problem, you know?
Yes.
Monkey Man says, if I see an influencer playing, I assume they are getting paid. I mean, it depends on how big they are. If they're a smaller one, they're not yeah. getting paid. You know, no. A smaller streamer's not getting paid. Most streamers are not getting paid by companies, but the big yeah. guys, I'm not saying they all are, but some of them are.
But the thing, you know, the thing about it is that they also say to the audience, hey, I yeah. got this game from so-and-so. That usually means that they got that somebody paid for some time on their channel. You got to yeah. realize influencership is passive advertising.
It is. Yeah. It's it's easy advertising for them.
Exactly. Think about it. You have people spending 2-3 hours watching these guys' streams. What do you think is happening there? Obviously, they're there for the person, right? But they're also getting advertised through to as they play these games.
Yep, pretty much.
Not about the money. It's about
yeah. What do you think about this, Carlos?
I mean, it's nothing new, and it's not even just everywhere. Politics. People follow politics. They follow the favorite influence.
Shit.
That's what everything is. So yeah, I'm not surprised. And this old he's not in Bethesda anymore, right? He's ex-Bethesda.
Yeah, he's ex. Yeah, he's ex.
Yeah, that dude's absolutely right. I mean, with games, you remember, this was, I think, maybe 10 years ago when, what's the name of that the dude that played Fortnite? He used to be the biggest streamer and he fell off.
Ninja?
Ninja. Remember, whatever Ninja did, he made trends.
And yeah, he did.
Even before him.
Yeah.
So it's always like, there's always like a new top person, but there's always, you know, those types of people where what they do sort of moves the industry. I mean, Ninja messed up when he got that Microsoft deal.
Shit. Yeah, he fucked up. Yeah.
They made him stream stuff that wasn't Fortnite. Like, it made him stream Gears and stuff. his viewership.
Thing was called. Exactly. Yeah, because his fans don't care about that. They want to see Fortnite. It's crazy, so, man.
Yeah, this is just it's par for the course for with the video game. You know, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how much where the line is blurred when it comes to video game journalism and video game influence, because I feel like the more time passes, the more that line gets blurred. I don't feel like there's that many true video game journalists.
I don't know. Like, you guys give me examples of like lines being. You mean like guys like Greg Miller or something like that?
Yeah, like he's one of the ones that I think of, is he obviously covers stuff, but he is incentivized by, you know, by advertisements and, you know, by honky door with companies. Remember, mm-hmm. the whole PlayStation leak stuff.
Yeah, Insomniac. Happened, yeah,
that's
man.
Where, that's we don't where, talk, that's yeah. where I said, oh, he's definitely not a journalist. He is, you know, he's trying to get that good with PlayStation.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But again, I've told this story before too. PR will send reviewers and influencers different guidelines to follow. Very interesting, right? Basically, when I get one, the main guideline is don't talk about this game before the embargo. That's the main thing. Influencers, on the other hand, will be like, you know, talk about this. They tell you what to talk about. That's the difference. They know. I've never been told talk about this, talk about that. It's just don't say shit before the embargo. Otherwise, say whatever you want. Influencer told, mention this, mention that. And again, I probably said this story before, but I'll say it again, but I'll omit the names, right? One of my colleagues got sent like a review guideline for a product, right? And he's like, I'm not signing off on this shit. They're telling me to write about all this stuff. I'm not doing this. So he emails him back like, listen, I'm not going to be reviewing this product because I'm not going to be, you know, effectively writing a PR like thing for you. And you know what they told him? Oh, we're sorry. We sent you the wrong email. That's not for you guys. You write whatever you want, because that other email was for the influencer, mm-hmm. you know,
it's the influencer email.
So there are different standards there. So it's not. So that's why I don't think there's like a exact blurred line, at least when it comes to writers, you know, actual writers. Greg Miller's not a writer anymore. He's a fucking, you know, YouTuber or whatever, you know. But that shit does happen. He was a writer. Yeah, and he transitioned over. Can I use that word, transition? You know, he did transition over.
But here's the thing with video game journalism isn't where it used to be. It's like there's not that many writers that write for a living, video game. So
not as much as they're used to, but they're still there. Yeah.
So I feel like for a lot of people, what they do to survive is to, you know, do the influencer thing. Damn. That's what a lot of people do. And video game companies, they know that they prefer influencers over journalists.
Yep.
Because influencers are not going to write a negative article about their game.
No, you're right, man. So, it's sad. You're right about that. That's why they are having more and more of these influencers at their shows now. Bro, there's been times where I go to events, I'm like the only fucking journalist there. Everybody else is an influencer. I'm like, what the fuck? You know? It's crazy, man. There's something else I wanted to add, but I forgot it. Anyway, let's move on. Pragmata has sold 2 million copies, people. New IP. Doing very well for itself. So congratulations to them. Shout out to Capcom, you know. I hope it keeps selling more, you know. It's good stuff there. Any thoughts on that, Manny?
No, I mean, it's cool. Like, again, it's like new IP, you know, $60 game.
Yeah, $60. There you go. You lower that price a little.
$60 game. I don't know, man. You know, how about that? How about that? You know, you start up a new IP. You don't blow your bank. You know, you make a decent game. I mean, granted, I know people were, you know, it did get delayed a few times. But I mean, to be honest, sort of took them the same amount of time it takes any game to be developed, right?
Yep.
5 years, right?
Yep. So good stuff there. Yep. Yeah, so yeah, congrats to them. Carlos, I remember what I wanted to say to you. You're not wrong about the influencer part, because when I first started, you know, around the first few years when I started, when somebody would ask me how to become a video game journalist, I would tell them what I did and give them some steps. You know what I tell them now? One of two things. Either don't do it, or I tell them, start a Twitch channel and pray whatever God you believe in. You know, because you don't make, why do you think I became a tech journalist? There's no fucking money in gaming, you know? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and especially, you know, it's like, the thing about it is, it's like, you look at what like the influencer space, like, again, they're advertising. It's within a company's budget to budget influencers.
Yes, I've heard that from PR directly. I'm not going to name names, but they have told me they allocate a certain amount of budget for influencers.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
do they allocate a certain amount for journalists? No, they don't. Influencers, you know,
because they can't control a journalist. The factor of a journalist. The other, because again, like, what is expected of a journalist is to tell what they think or review that product as it is. If you throw a little something at an influencer, again, especially if they're one of those influencers that are really into that specific title, you know, you already have an indoctrinated a salesman. So that means you don't need to worry about like doing a massive media campaign. You know that X amount of people watch so-and-so's videos every day. So there you go.
Yeah, you're right. All right, man. And the last thing, this one, I literally just added it to the show right now. And Chris, we may have to do a full one of this. The Sony financials came out, baby. So I'm going to do some quick numbers here. Sony PlayStation fiscal year 2025 quarter four financial results. The PlayStation 5 in the last financial quarter has sold 1.5 billion. Lifetime sales are now 93.7 million, which is insane for a console that has no fucking games. Full game software, 74 million. First party software, 5.8 million. Digital download ratio, 85%. Fuck. Man, I know you don't like hearing that, you know?
You know, and especially with your what is it, 30-day check-in?
Yeah, that's right. and monthly active users. This one's interesting to me. So 125 billion. Oh yeah, it's got to be PS4 people as well. Because I'm like, wait a minute, you've only sold 94 million. What, the numbers don't matter. It's a PS4 guy and some PS3 guys too, right? You motherfuckers are still out there playing your shit.
Yeah, man, they're still playing their shit.
Yeah. Also, you go ahead.
Also, and to be honest, I mean, a lot of people probably are double dipping because
if they bought it
day one and they played the hell out of that console, sometimes, you know, they'll go bad. That liquid metal can dry up. So there's, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen and get a new console.
Well, I mean,
yeah. Chris, look at this. I want to see this report. See how Sony's actually doing. You know. So maybe somebody else. Maybe somebody will ask for the Sunday show. Good stuff. If you motherfuckers want them charts, you know? And that's pretty much it. Although I do want to squeeze in this one last thing. You guys see that new trailer for Batman? For Lego Batman? Here's the thing. I was already sold on this fucking game. And the trailer has the Seal song. I'm done, man. Give me this game.
Excuse me?
Yeah, man. Watch the fucking video. Yeah, they got a kiss from a rose in that bitch.
Do they have a Lego seal in it?
They should, right?
On top of Gotham singing the song.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it's an interesting version of the song. It's not the vocals are the same, but like the music's a little slightly different. But you know, it's like they sprinkle like na 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 na, and you know, it's fun stuff. And I'm like, these guys are going deep with Batman. You know, it's fun. It's like Batman Forever. That's one of there's only two good things about that movie, right? The song and Nicole Kidman, because she looked good in that fucking movie. Otherwise, the movie's nice. But the movie's fucking trash, though. Although, Manny, I know you like the Riddler, you know, Jim Carrey.
No, I thought he was awful.
I thought you liked the Riddler.
No, I thought he was awful, man. Give me Frank Gershwin any day.
Hey, there you go.
He was the real Riddler.
Yeah, that movie was awful. But that song, excuse me, that was the best part.
You know that song was in that movie, right?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was off of his album, and they decided to do the thing. So there's actually two videos for that song, too.
I do remember they played both of those on MTV. That trailer. Jeffrey goes, that trailer was my power, my pleasure, my pain.
My pain.
Oh, man. I will say this, though. You know, I will talk to you more about this game soon. Wink, wink.
Uh-oh, we'll talk about that. We'll
talk about that off air. Good stuff, man. The new Leon DLC literally dropped tonight. I'm like, excuse me? For Requiem, so we got to get back in there. Yeah.
You can put, there's some new costumes. Like, he's got, like, wolf ears or something.
Oh, shit. And, you know how much the DLC costs? Nothing. It's free.
It's a mini mode called Leon Must Die Forever, and it's a survive mode.
Basically. Oh, nice.
It's a clock.
Man, yeah, Lego Batman, bro. Let's go. Again, I played a demo of it, and I went into that demo not knowing shit. I was like, Lego Batman game. I played Lego games before. I know what I'm in for. No. It's more than that. It's a true love letter to Batman, you know? And the way they mix shit up is pretty fun. Like, the level I was playing, I had to fight the Red Hood. And this motherfucker's spouting lines from, you know, that Joker will eventually say, you know, even like, you know, the Nolan's Joker. I'm like, okay, this is cool, man. All right. So wrapping it up, you know, Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Oh, yes. Still working on a couple of different reviews, some previews, certain things I can't talk about, other things I will talk about soon. So, yeah, I would say stay tuned to thecoalition.com. Stay tuned to the Coalition Gaming. We're going to be covering a lot of titles that are dropping very soon. And one of the quick, well, before I get to that, shout out to Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Check out the YouTube channel as well as the Coalition for all the shows he's been covering. And one last thing I will mention, I am working on a review of a game that came out today. And since it's going to take some time for me to finish that review, I will just say this right now. If you are interested in that mixtape game, you 1,000% should check out the game. Wow. It's on Game Pass. The game only costs $20. And it I saw that it's been getting 10s across the board.
I did give it a 10. Deserves that score. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
it definitely deserves a score. Yeah, so check that out if you're interested. And, if you have any questions on Thursday's show, I'm going to say on throw down your questions, definitely feel free to ask them.
There you go. Man, you got anything?
Nope. Actually, no, I do. If you're going to be at the P-Berg, there's going to be a local comic convention here on the East Coast called the P-Berg Comic Con. If you're in New Jersey, this is Phillipsburg, New Jersey. This is the local high school, and they do a little... they do a little convention over there where they invite a bunch of professionals to, you know, to do, you know, some tabling. So right now they have Jose Garcia Lopez, who did a bunch of the, all the licensing art for all the DC characters. So if you had a T-shirt or any of that stuff, like Batman blankets and all kinds of other sort of stuff, that all he drew all that stuff. So he's going to be there. Lee Weeks is going to be there. If you're familiar with Lee Weeks, and of course I will be there. The great Emilio Lopez, who's drawn everything that existed. Anyway, I'm joking. But yes,
hey, man, you forgot about Walt Simonson, man.
Unfortunately, Walt Simonson will not be there.
Oh, no.
He's had an operation over the weekend, so he's not going to be in.
Hopefully he's doing good, though.
I hope so, too. From what they say, I hope it wasn't anything. I don't know much about it. Him and Louise Simonson, his wife, who wrote X-Force and Power Pack and a bunch of other things, they had to cancel, unfortunately. But they usually were regulars of that show. So, yeah.
That's good.
But it's a good little con. You know, it doesn't last very long, 10 to 4 o'clock in the evening. You know, it's just a local, show. So, and they have a couple of people you might be in. Oh, yeah, and Joe Kelly's going to be there, too. So,
oh, nice. Joe Kelly.
Creator of Ben 10, and he worked on my Ninja Turtles series. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to be there this Saturday.
Didn't we meet Joe Kelly at a signing for, like, a Superman book our worlds at war by thinking about another writer. I think that was Joe Kelly.
I introduced you to him because at New York Comic Con when he was tabling one.
Yeah.
And we got to talking a little bit. That's about it. But
yeah, I'll have to look because it was that run with Ed McGuinness, you know, when he was drawing Superman. I think that he was the writer on that as well. But that's awesome. You know, got to support your local cons, you know.
Yeah, they do the local shows. So, and it's for a good cause. It's for the kids over there. So,
for the kids. You know,
they have us do little seminars and stuff to talk to kids about, you know, the creation process of comics and animation. Last year, the year I went previously, they had me teamed up with a guy named Will Rosado, who locally he's worked in a bunch of as many industries as I have worked in. He worked in, you know, at DC Comics for years. And then he also did a lot of storyboards and worked on a lot of films and animation and all kinds of stuff. So, so they had us just talking about the animation industry and all that sort of
good stuff. All right. Oh, by the way, I'm hearing rumors that there's going to be a proper Star Fox movie, probably because he was a popular character in the Mario movie. So there's that. I forgot to bring this up, but I'll do it real quick. Since I have a little bit of time. I know we already did the outro, but fuck it. I don't care. My show. Apparently, Sorrows did not sell very well, people. Trouble in Paradise. I wonder why. I guess my main question is, like, do you think, you know, some of that online, controversy about the ending, may have caused some of this stuff? Probably not, because, you know, the general gaming public is not on Twitter, you know, but it just made me think about that. The controversy caused all this stuff, or were people just not, you know, they didn't care about Eternal, you know, although I thought Returnal sold well, but who knows?
Anything will sell well on a console that doesn't have any games, right? No.
Yeah. Well, this didn't sell well. And, this is anecdotal, obviously, but it's like the only guys on this panel that have played the game are guys who got review codes. Nobody bought this thing, and I'll be honest, I haven't seen any of our people in the Discord talk about this game either. Like, if you guys are playing it, let us know, but I haven't heard anybody talk about this game. Nope. You know, go ahead, Rich.
So basically, you're saying, Tony, that they did not break the cycle.
No, they did not break the cycle.
Yeah, that is not good, because I have been enjoying the game. I haven't seen the controversies of the story yet, but... Now I am intrigued to see what the controversy is. But, I've been enjoying the game. But I do think the fact that I don't know how well Returnal did. I've seen a lot of people have been comparing this game and that other game. And some people say they really liked this game or they really liked Returnal. They will never play this game. So, I don't know. I guess we have to see how this story ends.
Yeah, you'll let us know for sure. Because I'm hearing some conflicting reports about the ending. But, you know, I'm never going to see the ending. I'm already done with the game. Like, not finishing it. It's like, I'm done. I'm good. Like, I played enough. You know, I'm enjoying Invincible Versus too much anyway, which is a great game. Go play that if you like fighting games. And if you miss Marvel vs. Capcom 2, you know, and you like Invincible. All right, man. That's going to wrap it up for us. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, join a Discord, and check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Mangioma.
I love how Bungie has said that they are planning to support Marathon for the next year with updates, which is great, because also High God and Concord did the same thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll see about that. Man,
how do people feel since they got the story mode? Has it utterly changed the experience?
I don't know.
Remember how they were telling everybody to wait for that?
By the way, speaking about mixed messages. So Dio's telling us to go check out the Mortal Kombat movie. I've heard the movie was trash, but I've also heard it was good. So it looks like it's one of those movies. What do you say, Rich? How have you seen the movie yet or heard anything?
Well,
day one.
That's a phenomenal question, Tony. I have not seen the movie, but I am going to see the movie tomorrow, so I will confirm whether or not it's garbage or amazing. But I'm pretty sure it's not amazing. I could say that.
Yeah, Dio says it's not trash. Yeah, no, but Dio, but I'm pretty sure you saw some of that too. People were like, "Yo, like, what the fuck did I just watch?" So, my thing is like, it can't be worse than that first one. That was dog shit. Yeah, that was dog shit.
Even in that first one, like, why would I even see that?
I saw it because I called it one of those COVID HBO movies. I had the fucking subscription. It was on. I watched it, and it was I think the only one of those. Yeah, and I had the podcast, obviously, yeah. The only one of those COVID movies that I liked was Godzilla versus Kong. The rest were fucking garbage. The Matrix, Prey was trash. Mortal Kombat was trash. You know, like all these Warner Brothers movies.
What about the Chris Nolan movie? That was
That was good. That was good. But I don't consider that because I watched that from a copy Carlos gave me, you know? Tenet. Tenet. That was good. But yeah, generally. But yeah, those HBO Max movies, fucking awful. Trash, you know? I don't know if Prey was one of those movies, though, but it was fucking awful, too. You know? Little fucking 90-pound, like, you know, Indian girl fighting the Predator. Yeah, sure. I'll believe that, you know? Anyway, we'll talk to you guys on Sunday, man. Later.